Well, today I wanted to talk about something that I have to periodically talk about because we need reminders. I need reminders. That's why we have to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into the Word, amen, lest we forget. You know, God wanted Israel to have memorials and have Passover and things that would cause them to remember, reflect on God's faithfulness, His goodness, lest they forget. And, you know, when things start to go really well, it's easy to forget. We can be distracted with a lot of good things, you know, the idols of good things. You can have good things, but then you can have too much of a good thing. So God doesn't want us to become idolatrous. Amen. He wants us to be fully for Him, and He wants to be the priority in our lives, just like we are the apple of His eye. Did you know that you are God's priority? He's looking at His people, His church. He is committed, fully dedicated to you. Did you know that? It's not all about what we can do. It's what God has already done and what God is doing, how God is the one who came looking for you, amen, came looking for me. It's not because we were so holy and so good. Amen. It's because we weren't and God was good. Amen. And God came and looked for us. He sought us out. Amen. And He wanted to bring us back to Him in fellowship. And so we need to remember that God is committed to His bride, His church. Amen. And so this is something that we must also give ourselves back to, as we must commit ourselves likewise back to Him voluntarily, out of gratitude. That's a good message, by the way. Out of appreciation, you know, for what God has done. So we willingly give our bodies back to Him because they belong to Him anyways. They are His temple. And we're not to have any other gods before Him. So in America, it's easy to have too many things, even good things, that can distract us. And the enemy wants us to be distracted even with good things, because he knows that he can choke the life out of us if he can get us to disconnect from the Lord. And once that happens, we are vulnerable. Amen. He wants to wear you down and wear you out and weaken you spiritually by offering you all kinds of things that are not in and of themselves sinful, but they are a distraction. They are to detour you away from God's mission for you and His eternal purpose for you. So we have to be wise and understand that we have an adversary that's very subtle. And remember, as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it wasn't tempting Him with evil things, but He was tempting Him with good things. Well, you're hungry, Jesus. Command these stones to be made bread. Well, that sounds like a good idea when you're hungry. The problem was the source. And we have to be careful that sometimes the good things that are being offered to us are not necessarily from the Lord, right? We need to know the source of the offer. See, the enemy knows how to bait people, good God-fearing people, to bait them with things that are good as a means of getting them, taking them away from the Lord. So enough said, right? We in America have struggled with this, haven't we? The church, a lot of the church, has been asleep. I think God is getting our attention. God is waking up America. God is waking up His people. That's a good thing. Say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good thing, right? God is waking us up. God is taking away some of the toys, some of the comforts, some of the conveniences. Things are becoming more difficult. The pressure is getting a little harsher. The uncertainties, the constant narrative of doom and gloom, and all these things. Because, you know, the enemy is trying to rob you of your faith, of your confidence in your God. And he wants you to look at all this stuff that's going on around you. Well, we should be aware of what's going on around us. But that should cause us to run to the one who's the answer, the solution to the problems that we face right now. If the church will wake up, if the church revives, amen, the nation will follow suit. As priests, so are the people. You and I are a royal priesthood in the Lord. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the influencers. We have to be awake. We have to be salt and light in our world. Now, I want to talk about the body of Christ, the importance of every member here, that there are no elite Christians. There are only sinners who have been saved by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. And God has called us to partner with him for his mission. And there's a difference between a congregation and a body. I've talked about this before, but we need to know the difference between a congregation and a body, between just going to church and being the church. In the Old Testament, you don't see body mentioned at all. It was always the congregation of Israel, the congregation of saints. And a congregation is basically a group of people that come together with a common theme or goal, or maybe it's an entertainment thing. You go to a show or you watch a game, whatever, and you may gather with people that you don't know. You have no personal connection to them, but together you're sharing in something. And so that's a congregational meeting. That's basically a crowd. But when you have a common goal as a crowd, amen, then it can become like a congregation. But what God has called us to is a body where we're interconnected to one another. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church." There's a government in God's order of things. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Isn't that not what's happening today? Of course, there's nothing new under the sun, but we're really seeing it today, aren't we? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Not a committee meeting. He, the Lord, is the one who brings us into harmony. As each part does its own special work, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In other words, we need each other. We need the giftings that are here, represented even here today. I can bring certain things to the table. I can bring my gift set to the table. Amen. And God will use me in certain ways. But I certainly cannot do it all. It requires camaraderie. It requires a partnership, a voluntary cooperation among us to say that, you know, I need to discover what it is that God has put in my hand. And how can I invest what God has put in my hand? How can I go and bear fruit with what I have? Not everybody is the same. We're all different. And that's what we need to remember, because sometimes even as a pastor, I expect everybody to see the same thing I do, or the same perspective that I'm looking through, right? The same lens I'm looking through. But I need to recognize that, you know, everybody is different. And everybody has their own part to do. And all we're responsible for, okay, is what the Lord has instructed us to do. All right? Nothing beyond that. How many know that God is not a hard taskmaster? You know, the enemy wants to put us under a false burden and bog us down with even good things sometimes. We can be do-gooders and yet miss the will of God. Did you know you can be distracted away from the will of God by good things? It's not about good things, it's about right things. It's about what God is telling me to do. Where can I serve? Where can I help? How can I benefit my brothers and sisters? How can I help build up the body of Christ? God has given me certain abilities, amen, and I want to be a good steward over those abilities. And everybody here, if you're in Christ today, then you have received gift, at least a gift, amen, that you can trade with, that you can invest. And if we would all just say, hey, I don't have to expect everybody to be just like me, but I can, you know, encourage my brothers and sisters to look at what they've already received from the Lord and begin to use it. You know, sometimes we're asking God to give us what we already have. Amen. Moses, what is that in your hand, right? It's a rod. He already had it, but God was going to use what he already had, amen, to part the waters, to do miracles. So it wasn't about the vessel, was it? It was about the God of the vessel. But he had to realize that what he had already was going to be sufficient for the job. He simply needed to commit back to God, give back to God what he had already received. Whoever you are, whatever your gifts are, you simply take yourself, your life, and you commit it back to God and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? How can I be a blessing? How can I build my brother and my sister in the Lord? What can I do to help, even support the work of others? God wants us to grow, and we can't grow healthy apart from the fellowship of believers. That's why Jesus wanted us to gather in his name. So, Israel could only gather externally. But they could not be united internally until the Holy Spirit was given. So think about how much better we got it today. There they had prophets, priests, and kings, but the average Joe didn't have the Holy Spirit. And there was a great demand on them to be compliant and to be obedient to the law, amen, and the demands of the law. And God certainly wanted his people to get along. You know, to work together, to be in harmony. And you know, the things that seemed to unite Israel of old were things like warfare. When all of a sudden, you know what? I need this guy now. I couldn't stand him yesterday, but today he's my friend. You know? So we got to link up. It's very important that we have a mission, that we have a focus. We're going somewhere. And we have a common enemy. Even politicians realize that. You got to create some kind of common enemy to unite people, even if it's a fake enemy, right? You got to create some kind of fake enemy so you can get people to unite against that enemy, even if it's fictional. Fictional? Yeah. I said fictional. I create my own language here, so. But you and I today in Christ have received his Holy Spirit. So there's a big difference between a congregation and a body. Jesus wants us united as a body. All right, so we need to be united internally by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Unity is not achieved by just common agreement. You can have external agreement for a season, and you can unite for a specific goal, such as going to war. Amen. But to truly be, to stay together, we need the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Holy Spirit has to help us, you know, to get over ourselves in order to get along with others. You know, there's that part of us that's in us that wants to be vengeful, that wants to lash out, that wants to, you know, get even when you feel like you've been offended. And that's, of course, the part of us that has to die, and the Holy Spirit in us has to be in charge. And we have to submit ourselves to the will of God by obeying the Spirit of the Lord, doing what He tells us to do, even if it's unfair what's happened to you. God's more concerned about how we respond again, right, than what actually happened. You know, it's easy to get into a tit for tat, right? You hit me, I hit you. But Jesus said, bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. The enemy wants to get us onto this bandwagon of attacking each other, fighting among ourselves, taking sides with people's drama. Come on, somebody. We got to go higher than that, all right? Get out of the chicken yard. Get up there with the eagles. Rise above it. As Hillary said, take the higher road. I didn't know she was a prophetess. Yeah. What she said is true if it's in the right context. Take the higher road. What's the higher road? How about the will of God, the word of God? What God said. So, guys, we can get together and we can do things together and we can, you know, even, you know, you have people that work very hard. And I agree that our politicians are doing, you know, some of them are doing the best they can to try to have peace. You know, to try to have world peace, to bring everything together where, hey, we're going to be one big happy family, you know, one big world order. Oh, that just sounds so golden and so wonderful. The bottom line is somebody's going to be in charge of all that. And who's going to be in charge of this so-called world order? Mm-hmm. We know there's going to be a world order. There's going to be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Amen. There's coming a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shall return, and He'll establish His reign, His rule over all the earth. Every knee is going to bow to Him. Every politician, every king, every prince will bow before Him. You know, Paul uses the physical body, as you know, as an example of how every part is interconnected and controlled by the head. We know the Lord is our head. He's the great high priest, right? He's head of the church, and we are His body on the earth and His expression here. But in order for us to be healthy and effective, we must be interconnected by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that we're not selfishly ambitious and running after our own dreams and goals, but we're united in the mission of God and the will of God, seeking Him for direction. Amen. And it's okay to have the second seat. It's okay to have a smaller piece of cake. Many that are first will be last, Jesus said. Unless it's Maria's cake, of course. But that's. But you know, the fleshly nature that we were born with desires importance and recognition and being chief and, you know, and we're really more concerned naturally about ourselves. Somebody say amen. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Spirit of Christ, the love of God comes in within our hearts. Amen. Now it's like we start to love people. We start to see, you know, the needs of others. We start to want to minister to help other people. Why? God puts that in you. He gives you a desire. He's working in you with a certain desire of something that you can do. It doesn't have to be lofty or visual or in the spotlight. It can be something that is as subtle as just standing in the gap and praying, interceding for other people behind the scenes. Because God is calling you to do that. I praise God for those who intercede. For us, amen, for this body, and for me. Thank God for my wife. Can't outrun her prayers, you know. But, you know, sometimes a church gathering, I've said this before, but it's like going to a concert. People don't really come to meet each other, but they come because there's some form of entertainment in the front. And I think we said it at practice the other night. If people are coming to be entertained, they may be disappointed. Okay? At least here. But if they're coming for Jesus, they won't be. If you really came for Him. You know, I mean, there may be music, there may be drama, there may be the preaching. Some people just like to listen to preaching, you know, and they're entertained by the preaching. Now, preaching doesn't have to be dull and dry. I mean, if God is in it, amen, it's life-giving. But personalities, we talked about this last week about how sometimes we're making idols, gods out of personalities, out of people. You know, and Paul was saying, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize any of you. You know, lest you should say I baptized in my own name, you know, because people are like, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, right? That's how natural man thinks. We start esteeming, you know, and have you been in a group of people where you're talking to somebody and then somebody else comes into the conversation and all of a sudden you're no longer an entity. It just kind of got hijacked and you're just kind of like, well, I guess I'll just move along here. You see, we're often respecters of persons, aren't we? We do. You know, how many know that there are no second-class citizens in God's kingdom? Amen. Everybody is value. Everybody has value. We're not all the same. We just have different functions, different roles. Some are more visible, some are not. But the visible one can't expect everybody to be as visible as they are. I've had personal disappointment with the churches, especially when something I felt was important was missing or lacking. Especially when I was a younger man and I had this burning in me, you know, I had the zeal, the fire of God, and I wanted to see things happen. And I come into a church and I could see things that were not happening and I wanted them to happen. Amen. Because, well, that was my gift. And I had to learn some lessons along the way about that, that it may just be that what you're seeing that is missing or lacking is something that God is calling you to fill. Rather than criticize it and leave, which is what I would do, I go and say, well, man, they ain't got anything going on over there, so I'm out of here. You know, and so what we end up with, hear this, is if you had a prophetic gifting. You may be looking for other people with a prophetic gifting. You're going to be drawn to them. Or if you're an evangelist, you're going to be drawn to those who are evangelists or pastors or serving people, right? People that serve. And you have all kinds of different flavors of churches. And often they can be very much like a teaching church. Now, is teaching important? Yes, but it's not all of it, right? There needs to be equipping for the work, right? Now hear it. So what happens is we have a tendency to flock together with people that see things the way we do. Yet what happens is we end up getting tunnel vision in the process because we're not embracing, we're not seeing the bigger picture, the fullness of God's body functioning like it should because we're just with people that think just like we do. So this is where I was at, and I wrote this down. I said, if the church I attend is lacking in Samaria, I am able to make a difference, then instead of criticizing the church or leaving the church, I should step up and help strengthen the church by utilizing the gifts that the Lord has given me to make a difference. This is what God taught me. You know, because, listen, we don't need any more armchair preachers either, by the way. Or armchair quarterbacks, right? You know, drinking pop and eating popcorn and yelling at the team. Setting your plate on your big belly. And you've been eating for years. You need a little exercise, brother, you know. Get out of that chair. Excuse me if you got a belly, but get out of that armchair and get to work, amen? This is a time to sit and eat and it's a time to move, right? But, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can lose sight of the vision, of the purpose of God, amen, for us. And then what we happen to do is we start to look inside and just start to pick apart each other, compare ourselves with others and criticize what we don't like about each other. And again, I use that illustration so often about the dog with the fleas, you know. The fleas are bothering him because he's stuck in a kennel. But if he can get outside that kennel and gets on that hunt, all of a sudden the lesser things, the little fleas, are no longer so much of an issue. In fact, a dog, my dog, if she sees something she wants, it's like she loses her mind. You ever have that with your pet? It's like, hey, I'm yelling at you here. Man, if you drop food on the floor, it's all over. It may not be something that's good for them, but it's too late. Whoa. They're focused, you know. They have their mission mentality. But let me just say this. There are certain churches that should be avoided. You know? I'm going to break out my list here and give you the list. I mean, if there is some cult or there are false doctrines, you know, I mean, I get that. We need to be careful. Amen. We're talking about God's church, the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And not of Latter-day Saints. You got apostolic churches. You got teaching churches. You got shepherding churches. You got worship churches. You got prophetic churches. You got evangelism churches. But a healthy church is all of these. Every one of us doing, amen, what we're supposed to be doing. I praise God for Donna that comes out here and cleans the church, you know. Yeah, it's just a building, but it's the place where we meet, amen. And it's a service as unto the Lord. And she'll be rewarded for that. And she doesn't have to be, and she doesn't do it to be seen. In fact, I can boast on you, though. Let another man praise your work, the Bible says. So 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, yes, the body, that's who we are, has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. The key is to be where God wants you to be. Don't come in with an idea that everything is going to be perfectly in order of what my expectation is, but my attitude should be, when I come into a place, I'm going to look for a place to serve, a place to help, a place to build up, amen, those areas that are lacking. Yeah, I can use my gift set, amen, to enhance the entire body of Christ, to bless the body of Christ, to nourish, to strengthen, to encourage the body of Christ. You know, the enemy wants us to compete and to compare, but the Lord wants us to work together as a team, amen. How many here ever played basketball? Okay, I see that hand back there. But if you ever played basketball, you ever have that guy that was the one-man team? He always had the ball. He was always doing those layups, you know. There was a little dysfunction there, wasn't there? Because he didn't learn. And sometimes it could cost you the game. Because he didn't learn how to pass it when he needed to. That's how we should be as the body of Christ. We work together as a team. And find out and discover who I am, where I fit, what I can do. Amen? And it doesn't have to be. Sometimes we get this idea that if it's big and it's visible, and, you know, then it's going to be greater. You know, but Jesus said, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, become the least, become the servant of all. Amen. So it's not about having the shiny lights, being on the worship team or being in the pulpit or being, you know, I'm a board member. First class. We went to this church back in Tacoma. I won't name it. But a lot of these guys are ex-GIs, you know, so they were used to the military and used to rank. And they had all these name tags, elder and deacon, and, you know, and it was like a badge of honor, you know. If you think about it, the whole reason why we need ministry is because there's a mess that we're in. And we're all part of that mess apart from Jesus. The Lord is the one who does the work. Amen. If we're going to esteem anybody, if we're going to exalt anybody, let it be the Lord. Amen. We just need to say, thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to be a part of what you're doing. I love to serve the Lord. How about you? God wants us united in the Holy Spirit. He wants us loving one another. Because, guys, as important as gifts are temporary. But love is what remains. The love of God remains forever. The greatest commandment of all is to love. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7, right? For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention here. This is the most important thing. And it's not just the touchy-feely love. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. I love you as long as you're nice to me. But it's a higher love than that. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that one would lay down their life for a friend. Amen. And even as our Lord went to the cross and laid down his life for his enemies, that's the kind of love that we want. The love of God. We want to be filled with the love, the agape love of God. Amen. Not the sensual feeling of love. Sometimes, you know, people come here because I feel love. Well, if it's God's love, that's great. If it's just sensual love, if it's just camaraderie kind of love, you know, like friendship love, that's philo, right? That's important. Philadelphia was what? The city of brotherly love, right? It's great that we can get together in a congregation and have brotherly love. We can, you know, be sane long enough to watch a movie together. But the only thing that's really going to keep us together, guys, is that we are grounded, planted, embedded in Christ. That we're in the love of God, that will protect us, that will guard us against the darts of the enemy. And the enemy seeking to get us offended at each other, to betray one another and to hate one another. And if we don't deal with these things quickly, amen, it can become a bitter root within us, amen? And it can grow up and it can defile many. An offended person is a dangerous person. Because they go around and they just spit out venom. And they defile. God wants us to be protected. He wants us to guard ourselves against these things. If you get offended, and you will. Guarantee. There's people that have left here because of something I said. Believe it or not. But guys, if you get offended, you know, first of all, it wouldn't be deliberate. But if you got mad at me, just make sure you're not mad at God, who may be using me to speak to you. I'm just a vessel. And we need to be respectful of one another. And love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not go out and hang everybody's laundry up to see. Amen? I don't know if you guys get that, but, you know, we have something special here. We have, you know, there's a real family here. God has been building it through the years, you know. We haven't grown fast, but we've been growing slow and steady and strong. And we have some deep roots here, you know. If you're the planting of the Lord and you belong here, then find out where you belong within the body context. And if you see a need, fill it. If you see an area where you can serve, where you can help, get involved. If it's your gift set, God didn't just gift you so you would sit, amen, and listen to somebody else, but so that you would involve yourself, utilizing what you have, amen, as part of a team. You know, when we were in the Army, we worked out together. We ran, we exercised together, you know. So we were built up together. We did things together. Amen. We served together. God wants his people unified. God wants us together. God wants us loving one another. That's what pleases the Father's heart, is that we love each other. Not that we're perfect people, but that we love each other enough to even care to reach out to somebody who's hurting. To pay attention to one another. I miss people. People fall through the cracks sometimes. Guys, listen, the phone rings both ways. Please call me. Anytime you need somebody to talk to. But even among us here, we have each other, don't we? It doesn't have to be me. It can be your brother. You can be your sister. But find your place where you connect and where you can be effective. Amen. Enhancing and building and strengthening, nourishing the body of Christ. So it is healthy and it is functioning together as a team under the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to make disciples, doesn't he? And how we do that, guys, is very specific to your gift set. I used to expect, again, people to see things the way I did. And sometimes that was correct. What I was sharing with people, what I was speaking to people about was true. And they needed to change. Amen? So I had to come to a place in my walk where I said, you know what? Instead of just criticizing what's not happening, just get involved. Amen? And start being a solution to a problem instead of aiding and abetting it. We don't want to get caught up in doing the work of the enemy. You see, sometimes it may be something that is actually true, but the way that we handle it could be wrong. Even the way that we correct can be wrong. We have to be careful how we even correct one another. There's a time, guys, when you just need to hit somebody square between the eyes with the truth. Amen? And then there's other times when you need to be a little more diplomatic about it and pray about the situation and be cautious about the situation. Amen? And approach it with kid gloves, because some people are wounded, they're broken. And so they can only receive a little bit at a time. And there's been times when I've been going through stuff in my life and I just didn't want to be subjected to fire and brimstone. It's not what I needed. This is a time for fire and brimstone, amen? But a continual diet of it is not healthy. We need to edify. We need to also build up. You see, the word of God is that which is that surgical instrument. It will remove certain things, amen, that are unnecessary, that shouldn't be there. It will bring correction. And sometimes God has to pulverize the foundation or the false foundation that we're living on, building our lives on. He has to first break that. And he has to bring us down, amen, so that now he can put us back together the way it should be. And we don't like that, but sometimes that's exactly what has to happen. Amen. But you can't keep taking the rungs out of the ladder. You know what I'm saying? We can get out of balance with this. It's always, you know, correct, repent, or it can be the other extreme. Bless, comfort, right? Coddle. What we need is the body working together and functioning in their gift set. If you have a gift of mercy, use it. If a gift of teaching, use it. Amen. If you have a gift of a servant, use it. work together. Find out where you can plug in and work. You know, we'll stay together if we work together, guys. If we love and serve one another, amen. And guys, when the doors are open here, if at all possible, come. All right? Not just once a week, but if you can come another time. We have a midweek service. We have a discipleship thing going on now, Thursday nights at 7. But come and gather together with the body of Christ, because it's there where you're going to receive nourishment and strength and edification, right? Where you will be built up. And there you will also have an opportunity. In the evening, for example, here, and even on Wednesdays, we give people opportunity to share. You have a praise report, you have a word, you have a psalm, whatever. Give people an opportunity so that they, if they have something on their hearts that they'd like to share, they can do that. Amen. And so what happens is we really get to know each other better in a smaller group context. But on Sunday morning, it's not always possible. Amen. Unless you want to get out of here around 5 o'clock in the afternoon or something. But which might happen anyways, the way I'm going, so. I'm almost through. But I think I'm all for interactive, you know, learning, growing together, sharing. Small groups are great, you know, but there's also the body, you know, the main body coming together, worshiping, serving, growing, learning together as well. And so how do we move from just being a congregation where we come and we look at what's happening up there in the front, and we listen to the music, we listen to the message, and you may even enjoy the message, I don't know. But why did we come? Yeah, we came for the Lord, didn't we? We came to be equipped so that we can serve. Well, what I receive, amen, is not just for me. So I encourage you to take what you receive and find somebody that's open to it. Amen. Someone that you can speak to. Somebody that you can share with what you receive. And I found this to be true, that when I give away what I receive, I don't lose it. You want to hold on to the word? Isn't that right, you guys? You start teaching? Amen. All of a sudden, you're starting to find yourself retaining all this stuff, right? As you give, you retain. You don't lose. But Jesus said, if you don't give, you may even lose what you have. I know that's a hard one, but that's what the Lord said. And the Lord wants us to know that He wants to share His kingdom with us. Amen. He's given you an opportunity to partner with Him and to serve, amen, His body, serve His purposes, so that you can have a treasure in heaven. Amen. And don't ever think, well, I'm just a toe. Speaking of toes, poor Aretha. Aretha, if you're listening to this, we feel for you, sister. We pray for Aretha, broke her toe. And who else? And Paula just broke her toe a couple of weeks. What's with the broken toes here? Maybe we're getting an object lesson. I don't know. I'm going to start wearing my shoes in the house here. But isn't it true? I mean, if you break your toe, oh, it's like everybody's feeling, right? The whole part of your body is hurting. God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to grow. When we struggle, He wants us to take it to Him. And He wants us to respond to things that happen, not react in haste. And we need to study to answer even. You don't always have to have an answer for somebody. Whenever there's a struggle in a relationship, it's not because you're not hanging around together, but because your internal connection is broken. In other words, you can be outside, you can be a congregation, you can be hanging around with people you can't stand. Just go to Walmart. All right, moving right along here. I'll repent later. On the day of Pentecost, when the fire of the Holy Spirit fell, they went from becoming a congregation, right, to a body. It was the Holy Spirit that brought them together from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Amen. They were all representing nations. These people came, those 120, came together, and God poured out His Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, even tongues of known languages. Of those that were standing by, I said, how could they know that language? They never learned that. It was a supernatural event. And what God was saying is, this is how I want people to come together in me. I'm the only one that can bring true harmony, true unity, bring people together in love. Amen. It has to be in the Holy Spirit. It cannot be by my own willpower, in my own flesh. Well, I'll just tolerate. You can tolerate people in your flesh. You know, but if you really want to have unity and harmony, it's going to have to be a bond in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us get over that part of us that wants to hold on to grudges. As we repent and as we take responsibility for our own actions and we decide to forgive people and to release people, then God will release us. And we can get along. It doesn't mean you have to hang out together, but it does mean that you can love one another. They started out as a congregation, but when the fire of God fell, they became a body, internally connected by the Lord. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, this is the key, if as He is in the light, we have fellowship. It has to be walking in the light. Light, right? Walking in the Holy Spirit. Then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. So one more thing, all right? Hang in there. Two things that we need. We need health, first of all. We need to be healthy. We need to get our hearts right with God. Amen. But we also need power. So if I injure my hand, I'm going to be limited. The first thing that needs to happen is I need to mend it. If I need to put a splint, whatever, in a finger, okay, that's the first step. Start to address, all right, the injury. There needs to be ministry to that part that's broken, okay. And so then there's the process of what? Healing and possibly therapy, where you start to exercise again and start to function again. Amen. You start to come back to life, if you will. Amen. But that's not enough just to have a healthy hand, because if your hand is weak, it's not going to be very effective. So we need health in our hand, but we also need power. And this is what's lacking, is a lot of people understand the health part, the repentance part, getting right part, but they don't understand the power of God that's available to them. And the fact that God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we'll have power, amen, over sin, over ourselves, and in the ability to confidently do the will of God. So we'll have a boldness, a holy boldness that comes by the power of God. So we need health as a body and we need power. So we work together to bring healing, but it's ultimately by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the power of God that we're enabled to do the will of God and to work together in harmony. Hallelujah. Now, if you get something in your eye, you know, you don't usually say, "And you know what, when I get home from work, I'm going to deal with that." No. What do? You deal with it right away. It's an irritant, right? You don't want to tolerate it. You want to put up with it. So, guys, that's the way it is. If there's is there something going on, if you blow it, if you sin, amen, or if you offend somebody, deal with it. Do it right away. Don't walk around with that injury, amen? Don't walk around wounded. Don't walk around offended. Because what the enemy's trying to do is get that offense to go deep into you so that you become a vessel that he can now use to poison others. You go around vomiting on everybody, all your bitterness and all your problems. And God wants us to be healthy. Amen. And he doesn't throw you away if you blow it. He just simply wants you to come to him and repent. Amen. And get it right. Paul always said in Acts 24:16, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Isn't it good to have a clear conscience? To be able to lay your head down at night and sleep. You know, and not be troubled. You know? And so that's what God is saying. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Deal with sin right away. If you blow it, don't run away from God. Run to the only one that can help you. We need God's power in order to do what he's called us to do. So we seek God for cleansing, but we also need to seek God for power. One of the things, and I've said this, I'm going to finish with this, is that I have witnessed, especially more so in the last couple decades, but that we have this instant mentality. Everything has to be right now or forget it. I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to have to pay for anything. Some have a mentality of this, you know, entitlement mentality. But I've discovered that if you're going to receive from the Lord, you're going to have to wait on the Lord. You're going to have to be faithful to the Lord and be consistent. When you mess up, you get right back in the race. Amen. Get right back. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Get back up. Get back in the race. Amen. Don't quit. Keep on pressing on. But listen, if you want God's power, you're going to have to believe him for it. You're going to have to seek him for it. We can have a snack or we can have a banquet. You can spend your Christian life in the dip and chip aisle. Or you can go for the prime rib. It's up to you. We want to eat at the master's table where there's an abundance, where you are filled. Yes, God says he wants our cup to overflow. He wants us anointed, amen, and filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective witnesses for him, so we can overcome in this world and help others to overcome, so that we'll be in a position to minister one to another. Guys, we've learned how to do church without God. I've listened to some, some worship teams. I don't know why I looked up there, but I'm just going to make sure I get that thing out of my eye first, right? Who have beautiful music. You know, so well structured. You know where I'm going with this. But no power. No anointing. My wife and I were just talking about last night. She listens to this one particular Korean preacher, and his wife plays keyboard, not all that well. But she plays to her heart's content, but she's anointed. But while she plays that keyboard, demons are coming out of people because of the anointing. What we need is the anointing. Come on, somebody. We're not here to entertain people. We're before an audience of one, but we need to come before him because we need his anointing. We need his help. We need his power. I can't survive this thing without God's power, without his ability, without his grace in my life. I know that I need Jesus, and we need to all come before him and tarry and spend time until we are endued with power from on high, baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. So that we will have boldness. We'll have confident assurance that we can open our mouth and God will fill it. Hallelujah. So we'll have the motivation of God's love in us that compels us to want to love and to serve others, because that's God's heart. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So I want you to pray and ask the Lord, God, where can I connect? How can I connect? Is it possible for me to attend other meetings even in the evening? Come out and assimilate. Get connected in with the body. Start to learn one another. Start to build relationships. Amen. Because it's coming a time when you're going to need those relationships. Amen. I heard somebody say the other day, worship is not a spectator sport. Amen. Everybody should be singing and blessing and praising the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to really be seeking the Lord this week and say, Lord, where and how can I serve your interests, your kingdom purposes? Guys, this is not about me here today. Are you hearing me? This is the Lord's church. You are his church. You're his people. So we're here to serve one another. All right? It's not about me. So I'm encouraging you to plug in. Find a place, amen, where you can function. First of all, be discipled, amen, and then go and make disciples. As you receive and as you practice and as you learn, what better place, amen, to practice than here? Small groups are great for that. Learn to pray for one another. Learn how to cast out demons, all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing. Sometimes it happens here, doesn't it? But we want to have God, and we want to be in his will, and we want to be together, because if we're together, we're strong. If together, we're a formidable force against the enemy. The church, not only here, but I'm talking about the church around America, amen, needs to come together. We need to pull together and say, we're one body in Christ. We are the people of God, amen. We're God's soldiers, hallelujah. He has recruited us into his army. And therefore, I cannot allow myself, amen, to be so distracted by temporary worldly things that my country is going to hell because somebody is not standing in the gap. It's time for the church to arise. Come out of the closet.
That's right.
And I want you to join. Consider really committing yourself even to this work. We need you. Don't think I'm only a toe. We need the toe. Amen? We need everybody. Would you pray? Hallelujah, Father. We thank you so much. We bless you. God, we pray for revival, for awakening. God, we need you. We need your love. We need your power. We need your health and we need your strength. Father, we ask you to impart your health and your strength. God, we pray that you would wake us up inside. Bring us to full flame. Bring us to full alert. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Open our eyes that we may perceive and know in the Spirit what you are doing, what you are saying. That we may join you there. God, help us, Lord, not to continually be licking our wounds. But it's time, Lord, that we put that aside. Even as David grieved over the loss of his son. But the time came when he had to put that away. And he had to get back to work. So, Lord, we're here. And we offer our bodies to you. We offer ourselves for your service. And ask you, Lord, to use us. Would you lift your hands to him and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Make me a vessel for your use. Purify my heart. Cleanse me. Wash me from all my sin. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Make me strong for you. Open my eyes to the opportunities to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.